Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Harry's ad spot. Harry's ad spot. Going to do a little Harry's ad spot. Hi, today's episode of Two in the Tink Tank is brought to you by Harry's ad spot. Harry's ad spot supports this this podcast, and you can support the Harry's ad spot that supports the podcast getting yourself some Harry's sample pack. Oh my goodness, so much value!
What's in there?
So little to pay, Alistair. I'll tell you later in the podcast. I want to keep you on the line.
It's Harry's shavers.
Harry's shavers. We're talking a close, smooth shave. We're talking durable blades. We're talking, you know, precision engineering. We're talking two guys who are sick of having to pay for overpriced razors at the counter, you know, and then they've got to go up and ask the person to get it from behind the thing because they don't trust you, think you're going to steal it. Harry's trust you so much, they'll just give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
They'll just send it to your house. That's how much they trust you.
Absolutely.
All right? Well, we'll get into it later on in the podcast, harrys.com/think tank. If you can't wait to hear the details and you want to just go there and buy whatever it is now.
Just fast forward to somewhere random in the episode.
No. Just go to harrys.com/think tank and you can just do it.
Oh, yeah.
But if you can wait, if you can hold tight, this is the marshmallow test, all right? Okay, you can go to the website now, sure.
Yeah.
And get the free sample pack.
Or you could wait and then buy two.
Yeah. So, yeah. Think about it. All right. Here we go. Into the episode.
Lentils.
Hello, and welcome to Two in the Think Tank.
The show where we come up with five sketch ideas.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Alistair George William Tremblay Birchall.
And It's so good to be here with you, Alistair.
It's so good to be here with you. My date of birth is the... just feel like if I'm giving away information about myself.
Oh, which you are. You've already given away all of your names.
Yeah, that's right.
Which, as we've established, gives wizards power over you.
Oh, I didn't know that. What about Rumpelstiltskin?
Yeah.
Does he get power over me? Or if he tears himself in half?
What a design flaw, by the way.
Absolutely. And also, why is he taunting people with it? Was he kind of taunting people? Yeah, I bet you'll never guess my name.
I think it's probably just burning him up inside. You know, it's like anything. You try and repress, because he doesn't want anyone to know his name, right? And then but then once that becomes his thing, he's a guy, you can't know his name,
yeah,
right? And then that starts to eat away at him. He starts to just want to say his name.
But we always just want to hang out near the edges. You know, we're coastal people. You know, we want to hang out near the edges. So it's like the rule is nobody can know my name. So then he bases his life around people trying to find out his name. You know what I mean?
I don't understand what that's got to do with coastal people that living around the edges.
Living around the edge, because he's living on the edge. Because that means if somebody finds out his name and says it to him, he's going to tear himself apart.
Yeah, just like with coastal people.
No, but that's what living on the edge is, you know, with coastal people.
So you reckon he's getting a bit of a buzz from constantly being on the verge of tearing himself apart?
Of course. Look, this is another way of putting it, right? The other day, me and my son, and this is just an accident that this actually happens to be a coastal based.
Okay, because I'm already confused.
Yeah, no, I understand.
As we've established, I'm quite clever.
Yeah, that's from a previous conversation about a sketch that he didn't get. That wasn't even by me.
It wasn't even that confusing.
Okay, so me and my son are creating a wall. He's like, he wants to build a wall of sand by the water.
A real Phil Collins type.
A wall of
Not
sand.
Not Phil Collins. Phil Spector. Phil Spector's wall of sand.
Build a wall of sand so that the water from the ocean can't get past, right? But if you build it too far away, the water won't even reach it. And so you're not really blocking any water. And also, it's no fun.
Yep.
Right? Yep. What you want is somewhere where you have enough time to keep building, but then also sometimes where, you know, a big wave will come and, and wipe it out. Now,
this is a lesson about picking your battles.
Well, it's a lesson about picking a battle in which you will definitely fight.
Yeah. Well, then at least it's still a battle.
Because then it's at least exciting, or else, I guess this is if you had nothing else to do. So Rumpelstiltskin, he could have just gone through his life without getting anyone to ever ask him, find out his name. He could have just made up a fake name. You could say, my name is Michael.
Yeah.
Like that. And then he
Michael, pleased to meet you. Can I have your first baby or whatever?
He didn't have to be a trickster.
No.
You know? He could have just
straight up and down.
Gotten an office job, you know, just done whatever. You know, become an accountant or something like that. He could have been in charge of the king's gold.
You know? Sure.
I trust a guy called Michael.
Yeah.
Right? But instead, he decided to live where it's exciting, on the edge there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's his version of drinking and drugging and things like that. Living an exciting life. For him, he doesn't need those things to be close to death. He's got just people guessing his name.
Now, when he tore himself apart, is that what happened? When he heard his name, himself apart. I mean, that rings a very vague bell to me.
Yeah.
And when you picture that, what do you picture? You picture he grabs... Like shoves his fingers into sort of the sternum and rips his rib cage open and tears himself like that? Or does he rip a leg off, rip another leg off?
I reckon it goes in half like that, yeah. I just picture him as being very empty on the inside.
Yeah.
And kind of be a bit more, you know.
Like paper mache almost.
Yeah.
He's a pinata type.
But enough to sort of be able to live a life.
I mean, I would have thought he'd still be just being a hollow man like that, so fragile, he'd be living on the edge all the time. But he needs to raise the stakes even further.
But there's a chance that maybe he wasn't hollow. Maybe he was so dense, but he was very strong.
Very strong.
It was muscle density.
Yeah. This is me. This is what I would do if I was at the gym.
Yeah. Right?
If I was working out the gym, I'd just work out the chest muscles, the pecs.
Yeah. Right? That's kind of creating a handle so that you can...
Well, but I'd leave everything else real flimsy.
Oh, good.
Right? Basically like noodles, right? So to reduce the chance of me ever tearing myself apart.
Would you even soften maybe the bones?
I would soften the bone,
yeah.
The arm bones and the leg bones. Great. So there was no risk of them taking over and sort of taking things into their own hands.
Yeah.
I want to keep that chest strong and intact, protect the core.
Yeah.
Right? And maybe the cheek muscles as well.
I guess that's like watching, did you see that footage of Arnold Schwarzenegger getting kicked in the back?
I didn't watch it, no, because he tweeted that he didn't want people to watch it.
Well, he tweeted that he didn't want people to watch the one where you see his face and what he says.
Yeah, right.
So, but I didn't hear anything in either one. I just saw...
Okay. I watched all versions.
I watched all
trying to find out what this thing was that Arnie doesn't want me to hear. What this face was like that he didn't want me to see.
Yeah, and then...
Was the face of a young Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Don't look at his face. I'll be back.
I'll travel through time.
Well, he probably seemed to have that kind of dense muscle around his back and chest because he barely budged getting fly kicked in the back.
And he just thought he was jostled by the crowd. That's what it's like to be Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It's different.
At 70. He still looks pretty solid, doesn't he, in the chest area?
Oh, yeah. He's solid.
Even his biceps are still...
Yeah,
He must be doing drugs.
I think he does weights.
Oh, well. Oh, you reckon that's what it is? Do you think he works out? What do you bet, man?
I'm not sure he works out, but he does weights.
Okay.
Do we have any sketch ideas?
I had an idea, a vague idea.
Yeah.
Right. When you were talking about picking your battles, or I was talking about picking your battles while you were talking about some other thing at a beach with your son.
Might be something with Rumpelstiltskin. Yeah. Maybe in there, a sketch somewhere.
There might be as well. Yeah, absolutely. I'm not ruling out that there could be something with Rumpelstiltskin, Alistair. Do you want to talk about that first before
No,
I move
no, you
on?
Go into yours.
No, I'm just saying that, you know, we always think about pick your battles as in being pick a battle that you can win, right?
Mm.
But you could pick a battle where, like, it's an easy commute, to the battle. That's
true, yeah.
You could pick a battle where there's like good cafes. You could pick a battle where you're like, I'm going to pick a battle in France.
That's right, because a lot of people
I love the culture.
Yeah, a lot of people base picking their battles on whether or not they're likely to die in the battle.
Mm.
But sometimes having to commute a long way really kills you inside.
Exactly. I'm going to pick a battle where I can have a good time.
Mm.
You know, where I can be home early, see the kids.
Oh, here's a... By the way, within this is the 9-to-5 war.
I love it.
Isn't it a war that you could just commute to?
And you know it when you're going to knock off.
Yeah. Right?
So the war is in, say, maybe the CBD, or maybe we sort of designate a war area sort of in a, as like a, you'd have like an industrial sector, you'd have a commercial area, and then you'd have sort of the war zone.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you can get there on the tram, right?
I think that would be really nice.
Yeah. Or a train or whatever, and you get there and all the different sides of the army are sitting there in their different uniforms on the train, and then they go out and then they start fighting each other. Yeah.
Oh, lunchtime.
I wonder if it would be like working in the media, though, where like you don't really get a lunch. Like you can go nip out, get a lunch, but you're expected to come back and eat it at your machine gun, probably.
I would say so, yeah. You could get a pad thai around the corner.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
but they encourage you to call up and order it in advance, so you just nip down and get it. Maybe someone will get one for everyone, go pick up all the meals.
Suddenly they get one, yeah. They get, yeah, I was about to say that, and then I realized that you had.
Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry. No, why'd you start it with suddenly, though? You started with suddenly, which is like...
Well, some of us like to have some excitement in what we say. You're like, oh, I'd probably... Oh, that's boring, Andy. That's just speculative. Suddenly,
but I guess everything...
a man has been given a job to get all the food for everyone. Now you're surprised. You're excited to find out, who is this man? What kind of food are they getting?
Is he going
to
get them all in a plastic bag? Or is he going to say, don't need the bag, and then carry them all and burn his arm on the pad thai?
That's right. Or is he going to get a plastic bag for each one? Because people, each person is getting a thing from a different, a different.
This guy's
got to
pick
place.
Up a different from thing from every different takeaway place. They're almost ruining the economy of scale that we got and sending him just one guy down in the first place. Anyway, Alistair, it's your hypothetical.
It's still faster than people
suddenly
than walking back to the.
I think everything happens suddenly.
Line.
Everything happens suddenly.
Does it?
Yeah.
What about blacking out?
Yeah.
That kind of like that kind of fades in a little bit.
When blacking out, like of all the things you could pick as an example of a thing that doesn't happen suddenly, losing consciousness. Alistair.
Dying, you know, but like
dying. Are you trying to prove your case at all?
No. I mean, blacking, have you ever blacked out?
No, I don't think so.
You know, at first you kind of go, oh, I'm getting a bit of head spin. Oh, and you go.
And then suddenly.
And then it's like, oh, too much. And then you wake up and then you go, whoa.
Would you say you wake up gradually or?
No, you wake up suddenly.
Yeah, okay. No. I think everything, every single moment is sudden, right?
Yeah, I mean, every moment is sudden. Like, it's like,
thank you.
Suddenly, the next moment happened. Suddenly, the following one after that arrived.
Yeah, I'm correct.
Yeah, but then there's things that fade in and out.
Mm.
What about this?
Suddenly, it faded in a little bit more.
Yeah.
Suddenly, it continued to fade in.
Look, I'm not 100% sure on your everything is sudden. theory.
But it's interesting, isn't it?
It really is interesting. Hey. I mean, it's got me thinking. I want to write a dissertation on it.
Mm. Dissertation.
I tried to write a bit the other day. I was trying to write comedy. Look, we haven't gotten... Wait, 9-to-5 war.
It's a really good sketch idea.
This is too dumb a joke, right?
Oh, yeah.
This was part of a bigger joke about war.
Mm.
But I was saying... You know, you probably see me as a deserter, and I am. That's exactly I'm the kind of. But that nobody's going to shame me when I get back to town. You know, like from deserting the war. You know, be like, oh, you coward or whatever. Because I hang out with deserters. I hang out with deserter people.
Mm.
Right? You know, we do deserter things. We eat deserter food. mostly savory things. That's too dumb, isn't it?
No, I don't think so. It's quite a long journey.
Oh, but it's to get there. But I mean, it's part of a bigger thing. Yeah.
And there's other bits about being a deserter. Is there other bits about being a deserter?
Well, I do desert the battlefield.
There you go.
I mean, there could be more. The idea is that it's not that I'm really. There was a chance that won't even make it in the bit because it's hard to find a place where there's not so much fat on it. But I do like the kind of joke where you essentially make the joke that you don't want to make.
By not making it.
Yeah, by not making it. But you don't need to make it because everybody knows what the hell the joke you're going to make is.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do a slightly different joke that is maybe the
opposite. Or you just do the joke.
Do you think that's the joke?
I think that's really interesting. And I personally like the idea of hanging out with just deserters.
You know?
I think the tricky part would be getting them to show up. You know,
of course.
You organize a sort of a get-together.
Yeah.
Very difficult to get everybody.
I mean, you know that they're not
a lot of maybes on that Facebook invite. That's all I'm saying.
I guess you could be worried that the people who run the war might be running the invites. You know? And so then that could be a tricky scenario.
Like you feel like you're being trapped. Like it's a setup. You mean?
Yeah.
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 You're right.
But then you don't want to
Free savory food. There's an event that pops up in your feed. Free savory food in the park.
Yeah.
Come on down. All welcome.
Everybody's welcome.
Yeah. Oh, specifically you. And then you show up and you get caught for being a deserter.
It's a good idea if you're the war people.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a bad idea if you're the deserters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking as well.
But then you also don't want to spend time alone.
No.
So it's kind of easier to just, I guess, start afresh with some person that you meet in the country you've deserted your army in. Learn the language, try to seem like a local.
Yeah, but then you might be at risk of not only being a deserter, but being a defector, which is even worse, right? Because a deserter is someone who just goes away to not fight at all, but then going all the way over to fighting on the other side.
Yeah, no, well, you don't want to fight on the other side.
All right, you just want to live on the other side.
Yeah, you live on the other side where your army can't find you.
Yeah, or if they do, they'll just kill you accidentally as a civilian. You know, think that your wedding event is a military encampment or something, which seems to happen way too much.
Yeah.
People are having weddings that look way too much like a military thing.
Yeah. I think maybe some cultures love to shoot guns in the air during weddings. I think that's genuinely
part of the...
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why that keeps happening.
They're edging, aren't they? It's a high risk.
If they're coastal people.
Yeah, they are coastal people. Is that why Australia is a coastal nation?
Yeah.
Because we love to edge?
Well, I mean, what good is there in the ocean? Almost nothing. There's almost certain death.
And this is what swimming basically is, right? It's because it is. It is. You're basically semi-asphyxiating yourself in a way in which you could die at any moment whenever you put your head underwater.
Yeah.
That's a little thrill.
Absolutely. It's like the ocean is just one big plastic bag.
Mm.
And your body
is
like a head.
Well, more so than ever. Right? Because of all the plastic.
Oh, because of the plastic bags in there. I'm starting to follow your drift. Ocean plastic drift.
Yep.
That didn't work at all.
Ah, well.
Do we have a third sketch idea in here somewhere?
I just talked about picking a battle that had good amenities.
Is there any reason why you would hide beans in your nose?
Hide beans in your nose?
Yeah.
Well, do they ever search the nose? I don't think anyone's searching the sinuses.
Yeah.
Right?
But do you think they're listening to see if you have like a kind of, "Hi, everybody," kind of nasally voice.
I don't think being nasal is a cause for suspicion. In fact, I think people probably overly would A, think that nasal people are sort of more whiny and less likely to be involved in something cool like drug trafficking.
Yeah, and right? Hard to spend time with.
Hard to spend, exactly. You don't want to be like, "Well, come into this small room with me, I'm going to do a thing." Be like, "Oh, that's quite an irritating voice.
Yeah.
I'm going to wave you through."
Yeah. "Oh, no, I'm just heading back from Columbia." I'm just heading back from Columbia to where I was visiting my mother.
I think the body has a whole lot of unexplored cavities in terms of
transporting drugs. You know where I was thinking?
Under the eyelids.
No, I wasn't thinking that, but that's, I mean, I'm starting to do it now.
Yeah, right.
You know that little tray? That tray area up in the ear, on the edge of the ear there. You know, just like, so it's like just the curled over area.
Mm.
If you weren't living in Australia, you would recognize an area like that from fences, you know, like outdoor fences. That's kind of often where the redback spiders would be. And you don't ever curl your fingers under there.
Sure.
So, yep. But with the ear, it's a little, essentially like a little trough, an upside down trough where you could just densely pack some cocaine in there like that, and then just kind of put some putty, ear putty in there.
Mm-hmm. And fill that in,
and then you could bring in at least
a couple of grams. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, if you did it right, you know, and you tipped your head back far enough, you would just be able to pour it in there and it'd just sit in there, you know?
So like
turn that upside down trough into a regular trough.
No, but...
And then you could fill up the nostrils as well.
Yeah. And nobody wants to talk to the guy who's...
whose head is inverted.
Whose head is inverted and he's leaning all the way back. Nobody wants to.
You think this guy's bringing anything in? I don't want to know, frankly. I don't even want to begin a conversation.
It's so uncomfortable to look at him.
I think under the eyelids, because you can pull those eyelids out, right? Mm. And if you shove two little baubles up in there, I drop them back down. Sure, my eyelids look a bit puffy.
Yeah.
But when's that ever been associated with drugs in any way?
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, no, puffy eyes, sure.
Mm.
But having lumpy eyes.
Lumpy eyes.
That's not associated with drugs at all. And if anything, you could get a lawyer to probably argue that they were harassing you needlessly because no one's ever heard of lumpy eyes. And despite the fact that they did find drugs under your eyelids, no one had ever heard up until this point.
Well, I think that the search is invalid if they didn't have probable cause.
I'm sure you could definitely argue that.
How about this, right? Injecting individual pores on your skin with cocaine or whatever so that they become big sort of ugly pimples on your face, right? And then they're quite hard, unpleasant to look at and deal with, and nobody's going to like search your pimples.
No, that's right. And then when you get to the other side,
you just squeeze them all
into like a little baggie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or straight up somebody's nose.
That's good. I mean, there'll probably be some real pus in there.
Sure. But I mean, that's like any drug, right? You don't know what's in there.
That's true.
Could be anything.
And they cook it, right? You hear the word cook in there.
I think cooking is involved in drugs.
Yeah. It's a culinary art.
It is.
Well, I mean, you consume
it. It's the dark culinary arts.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, because I guess it would have just started with like, you know, like boiling some leaves or whatever. Like that's how you would have extracted coca or something like that. You know, maybe like in butter. I think that's how they do it with marijuana.
There was way too many nouns in that sentence for me to understand. Like coca, like they do with butter, like marijuana.
Yeah, you know, with marijuana, when they're extracting the THC from it, that's why they always make it into cookies or something like that, because you got to cook it in butter, and the THC comes out because it's more of like an oily type thing.
Oh, okay.
It comes out into the butter, and then a lot of people just discard the leaf.
You cook marijuana in butter.
Yeah.
No wonder it's so good.
Yeah.
Everything that's cooked in butter is delicious.
Yeah, exactly.
It's probably just the butter that's giving you the buzz, being out of those guilt-free.
You're on a butter high.
Lipids.
Butter buzz.
Butter buzz.
Yeah.
Get my butter buzz on. No, there's something there, Alistair. Is there something? Is there something in the idea of like sort of dark cookery,
or this transporting things through orifices?
Yeah. Definitely. That's definitely a sketch. Yeah. And it could take the form of like a police training thing where they're trying to like inform the airport security about, you know, new ways that people are smuggling things in. We could do a whole get into it. Like you've got to watch out for small children, right? Because there was this thing where like a small child coming into it was later discovered that the small child was actually a smaller child, right? And the entire like head of the child was just solid cocaine.
Yeah, right. And
then, you know, if you'd taken the head off the child, you would have seen a smaller child underneath.
If you'd smiled at the child.
Yeah. at the child.
The child wouldn't have been able to help smiling.
Mm.
And then it would have cracked the outer facade. Which was just a still
unflinching?
Like a still what's the something that you don't suspect?
Oh. Unsuspicious?
Unsuspicious.
That doesn't feel like a word, does it?
Child's head.
Innocuous.
I guess
innocuous.
Has anyone tried the fake head? Just like it's a non moving head. It's just a non-moving, sort of close enough looking human head.
Close enough. Yeah.
You know, and these are just the attempts that didn't work, but just it's so like doesn't look right.
Well, I think this is funny to see this person being taken in and given like the cavity search, and you know it's clearly a fake head, but the you know they're getting the regular pat down and all that sort of stuff. No one looks in the head.
No one looks in the head.
No one ever even suspects that.
We've looked inside everything, every orifice, and then there was nothing in there. So you're free to go, sir. Thank you. Wait, hang on. I gotta drink this.
Or even you could have an entire like, an you know, just make your head look bigger, right? So it's a whole extra layer of head, right? An extra good, you know, good centimeter or two of head packed out over the top of your regular head.
Sure. So it's just what like fake skin, kind of
like
thing.
A mask or whatever, and then just like a layer of cocaine.
But just like prosthetics,
probably absorb some of it through the skin. Could be quite an interesting flight.
I mean, it'd be good if it was in baggies or something.
Yeah,
like that.
It would be. But I'm picturing it loose every single time we've been talking about it. I'm picturing it loose. Just so you know.
Yeah, great. Even the little clumps under the eyelids.
Yeah, just loose.
How is it staying in a clump and not getting absorbed by the?
My closest association with the world of cocaine smuggling, I'm imagining, I think I saw an episode of, or I saw that movie Traffic or something like that, or maybe it was a James Bond, I can't remember, but something where they'd sort of plasticized it somehow and turned it into
like toys. Something like that, yeah.
So I'm just picturing you can just do that with cocaine easily.
Yeah.
Now, I realize that was a fictional representation.
Sure.
And plasticizing stuff.
Mm.
It's probably not really a thing that happens in the real world.
I reckon, you know, you'd probably use pill binding agents.
I'd use egg whites.
Egg whites?
Yeah.
Well, that's good too. I mean, so you don't want your people who are taking your cocaine getting
salmonella. Oh, no.
No, but you know, like pill binding agents. You know, pills, they're not that far from being a bit like, you know, a chalky toy.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, a chalky toy. You know, chalky toys.
But then, what about Advil? You look at that—the one with the candy coating.
Oh, is that? What is that? Is it like a little sugar on the outside?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
you know, but that looks like a toy.
Mm,
you know,
I'd play with that.
I'd play with that.
That'd keep me going for hours. Keep me entertained.
All right, we've done this idea. I think.
Did we actually have an idea for Rumpelstiltskin?
I just wrote down, it's Rumpelstiltskin gets an office job.
Yeah.
You know, I think you would have to explain it within there, you know, that either this is some alternate history, some, you know, where he just is a bit more reasonable. Like he was kind of raised right, maybe. And his
parents paid more attention to him.
Exactly. And they taught him, you know.
Mr. and Mrs. Stiltskin.
Yeah, them both being people who come from a line of people who, if you know their name, they rip themselves in half. They kind of have learned to become a bit more reasonable humans.
Yeah. Is there something in a gym offering the Rumpelstiltskin workout, right, which is basically where you do build up your arms hugely and you let the chest wither so that you are strong enough to tear yourself apart? I'm strong enough to tear myself apart.
I mean, but then the part is where do you get a grip?
Well, that's why you've got to be able to plunge your fingers into the sternum or like get into that chest cavity somehow. I reckon you can get under those ribs. Bottom ribs. I reckon that's the weak point. You get in under there. You if you're sort of weak enough in that muscle near the diaphragm, but strong enough in your fingers, and you keep your fingers pretty pointy as well,
like with nails.
Nah, not necessarily. Just the muscles at the bottom of the finger are real bulky.
Yeah.
But the muscles at the top of the finger, not so strong.
I love that whilst you definitely do want to tear open your own chest and be able to pull yourself apart, you don't want to have like sort of gross nails.
Well,
That would be super helpful for cutting through skin.
There was a thought in my mind of basically like, I don't think human nails are really that good for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Right? And the risk there is that you'd break your nails and you'd actually like, I feel like the skin might win in that situation and your nails just kind of bend back or something. And that's very painful.
That
might throw you off from your objective of tearing yourself apart.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
There
was definitely a lot of thinking that went into it. But did you think about maybe getting that human a cuttlefish? Like, you know, like one of those little white bits of cuttlefish, and that they just kind of keep filing their nails. So I think they would keep growing, but then you keep filing them into the right way. So maybe they would gain a bit more.
Strengthen them like a bird does with its beak.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
I mean, that's I don't part know if of what the they're workout. Doing is strengthening them, whether they're just shortening them, stopping them from overgrowing. Have you ever seen a bird's beak get overgrown?
No. Is that a thing?
Yeah, that would happen to our budgie.
Did it look messed up?
Looked a bit messed up.
So the beak keeps growing.
Yeah.
Because I guess the beak is the tooth, but the tooth doesn't keep growing.
No. I guess the beak is like a beak.
The beak is like a beak. It is a bit like a fingernail then.
Yeah. A bit more
is it fingernail material, the beak?
You know what? I don't know.
Chitin?
Chitin? It could be. I mean, it feels like it is somewhere between a tooth and a thing. It's kind of, it's got a bit of texture on it that kind of has a bit of turtle shell about it.
Mm.
You know? Whatever. Maybe it's turtle shell.
Could be turtle shell. Yeah.
Birdle shell. There you go.
Alistair, just want to interrupt the podcast here with a little pre-recorded ad for harrys.com/think tank. Harrys are precision engineered, smooth razors that you can get, which are going to change your life. Alistair, I shaved with a Harry's razor last night, and I feel like a new man.
Andy, you resemble a newborn.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Except for my moustache, right? But my chin, you know, my mid-mouth down.
Yeah, no, you resemble a newborn walrus. Is what I was saying before you cut me off.
Exactly. Now, listeners of our podcast, they can go to harrys.com/think tank and they can get an amazing deal, right? Because Harry's, it's convenient, right? They'll send their razors right to your house. But if you want to get started, you go and you get a $13 value trial set that comes with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave, weighted ergonomic handle, 5-blade razor with lubricating strip and trimmer blade.
Oh.
You know about this trimmer blade?
I use it every single time. It's the best.
Yeah, that little bit on the other side, you get up in under the nostril there.
You ever tried going back to a regular razor after using that trimmer blade?
You can't. I never would because I'm on Harry's.
It's so insufficient. You show up at your parents' place, you forgot about that travel pack. They only have those disposable razors that don't have the trimmer blade. Mm. Suddenly you're walking around with like a, you know, just like the beginnings of a Hitler mustache under your nose. That's not what you want.
No. That you're in the process of sliding into the far right.
That's right.
Harry's isn't going to let that happen.
No.
They've got the rich lathering, what a word, shave gel. Comes out as a gel, rub it on, it's a foam.
It's so easy. It smells so good.
And you get to witness that phase transition from gel to foam.
Oh, yeah. That's a really good moment. Yeah. Where does all that air come from?
I don't know. Out of your face?
It must be. It's got to be coming from somewhere.
You've got the travel blade cover, right? I wonder if it's carbonated. Maybe it's carbonated.
Oh, it could be.
And the travel blade cover, we know that how you feel about the travel blade cover. Listeners of our podcast can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/thinktank. Make sure you go to harrys.com/thinktank to redeem your offer and let them know we sent you to support the show. Now, back to the podcast. Do you think humans could grow beaks?
Oh, I mean, it would be good.
You know?
Do you think it would be better than lips? It would be better than lips, wouldn't it?
Well, okay, plastic cutlery, we know that's bad, yeah. Right? It's getting into the oceans. We're trying to get rid of it, mm-hmm. Right? I think the obvious way around this is a beak. You know, if everybody has a beak, you can put that straight in, you know. Look at the hummingbird.
Yeah.
Look at that beautiful long beak specialized for, like, dipping into those really long tubular flowers, right?
Sure.
Now, imagine a human beak. It would be specifically designed for getting into those takeaway noodle boxes, right? Yeah. So you won't miss any of the stuff down in the bottom.
None of
those noodles that are all soy saucy right down the bottom.
Would it do that thing like the dog's tongue? Have you ever seen a slowed down version of the dog's tongue where it seems like they're catching water like underneath the tongue? Like it's
curling.
Yeah,
it bends backwards.
Backwards, and then it's bringing it up. Like
exactly the opposite of what I would have thought that dog's tongue did.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at first when you said beak and you were like, well, no, you won't have to use utensils, but then I was just picturing, you know, like when you see a bird, like a parrot or something like that, pick up just like a seed with that beak and then they kind of like poke it with that gross tongue.
Oh, the tongue is so dry.
It's so dry. Get some moisturizer in there. How about some saliva?
I guess you can't keep the saliva in when you got a beak. You need lips.
It looks a little bit scoopy.
Too much to ask to have a beak with lips.
Ah, now we're talking.
Best of both worlds,
exactly.
Right?
All right. The beak with lips. Now. Would you add that to birds or would you add a beak to humans?
I'm adding a beak to humans because I'm trying to solve this cutlery issue.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's working, the cutlery thing. This is really more of a tongue. These are like, you're talking about, these are huge advances in tongue technology is what you're really doing, right?
No, because like you get the beak in, you can just you poke your beak into the container or whatever it is, and you pick up the stuff with your beak. And, I mean, putting lips on the beak does undermine this a little bit. I was thinking because it's not fleshy, right, you aren't going to get burned or whatever by hot foods.
What about your dry tongue?
Your dry tongue, well, it's dry. It doesn't get burned. Dry things don't burn.
As we know from bushfires.
Too dry to burn. At the moment, we're discovering that Australia, the drought, it's now too dry to burn.
Oh, they were right. We shouldn't have done anything about the climate. We just broke over to the other side.
We pushed through.
We pushed through onto so dry that it can't burn.
Some part of me is like, fuck, that would be so good. If there was a way that we could push through. We just need to get the... Because you think about it. It's not inconceivable, right? We put enough carbon dioxide into the atmosphere that suddenly all the plants are thriving, right? Mm. And they take the carbon dioxide out, but then we're back where we started.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
I have heard about this one, though, the albedo effect. Have you heard of this?
No.
Right? The planet heats up, right? More water evaporates, more clouds in the atmosphere, reflects more sunlight, planet cools down. Albedo effect.
Is that a real one or is that
it's
like
a real effect.
Yeah?
It's a real effect, but I got a feeling it's not going to do it. Not going to save us.
Also, everything's going to be, it's going to be so humid.
Yeah.
Which is a worse kind of
heat. Oh, so worse. This is the thing. Global heating.
Yeah.
That hasn't cut through. That hasn't scared people. Global humidity.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Now we'll get some action.
Exactly. Finally.
We laugh.
Oh, there's no respite from the heat.
My clothes are sticking to me. Global humidity. Write that down.
Yeah?
Yeah. Rebranding global. Because The Guardian news website They recently, just the last couple of days, they said they were going to change the language they're using around climate change to be climate crisis or climate emergency and global heating instead of global warming, because they actually think that that reflects better the reality of what's happening and the seriousness of it.
Yeah, right. Right?
But I think global humidifying is even more, has even more cutthroat.
Sure. I mean, that it'll be great for people who have those like allergies or whatever, and they, and the air's a bit too dry for them. They have that dry cough. Is that people with allergies?
Well, I remember one of the guys in South Park had it. You know, so, Kyle's cousin came to stay with them. It's the air is a bit dry. the air is very, it's very dry in here. It was really annoying.
It would be great to get that guy to transport drugs across the across the state lines.
Oh yeah, nobody's taking him into a small room. Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
I wonder if you can turn drugs into a gas. If you can plasticize them, maybe you can gasify them.
Put them in
a balloon.
Gasify them and then put them up into your butt.
And then you fart them out when you
fart them out when you get there.
Gas doesn't show up on an X-ray. No. They're looking for solids.
They're looking for solids.
The fools.
Could you drink it?
Breathe it in.
Drink it all.
No, keep it in your lungs.
Yeah, breathe it in.
Hold it in there. Hold your breath for the duration of the flight.
Is there a way that maybe you could get this will be super tricky.
Put the drugs into your veins.
Well, no. You have.
I'll be transporting it inside my veins. I'll be injecting it into me.
No, but you could have like a bottle, like a little cylinder that it's a cylinder of oxygen that looks like a mobile phone, right?
Okay.
It's perfect. All right. And it connects to this watch that you have that connects to your wrist.
Yep.
Right? And the watch is actually got a little thing that goes into your vein.
Mm-hmm.
And then takes this canister of oxygen and just keeps oxygenating your blood.
Yes.
Like that. So you don't need to breathe.
Okay.
Okay, because your blood is just, instead of getting its oxygen from the lungs, it's
getting from your wrist, from your watch.
From your wrist watch.
Yeah. And you're holding your phone. Everyone's already holding their phone all the time. That's not suspicious.
That's not suspicious.
Lots of people wear watches.
Exactly.
Usually they don't have both of them because you look at – I'd be like, why's that guy got his phone out if he's got a watch? It's a Fitbit. See?
Oh, fix it.
Yep, you did.
Right. It's an Apple Watch.
Now, Alistair, dare I suggest that there is the alternative of just keeping the drugs inside the canister that looks like a mobile phone instead of keeping them in your lungs.
But they're going to find that really suspicious.
Well, how? how's that any more suspicious than the current scenario?
Well, because they're never going to find the drugs in your lungs.
Sure, but if they're not going to find that the phone is a canister of oxygen.
No. I'm saying that they might.
Okay, but then you don't have. Then they're taking away your oxygen.
Yeah, but they have to give it back when they realize that you haven't done anything wrong.
But it's connected into your veins. How long are they taking it away for to check it?
Eh? We don't know, but just. You just go.
All right, sir. Nothing that we found that there was nothing suspicious about your phone that looks like your canister of oxygen that looks like a phone. So we're going to reconnect it to your watch, which is plugged into your veins here, and send you on your way.
Good. Just say. Oh, we found there's nothing wrong with your phone that has an oxygen canister attached to it that attaches to your phone. Just say that.
Okay. And we found that there's nothing wrong with your phone that has an oxygen canister in it that attaches to your watch or something like that.
Good. Give it back.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We will, because we can't think of any reason not to.
Excellent. Quickly. I really need to fart as well. He's also got gas in his butt.
Drugs as farts. Gas jet. I mean, some drugs are gas, right? What's that one? Nitrous?
Nitrous oxide?
Oxide?
Imagine that, trying to transport nitrous oxide over international lines.
Is that the laughing gas?
It's the one that's available from baking stores. That people
right. What's the one that's laughing gas? Is that nitrous?
I think, yeah, it's also nitrous.
Same thing?
Yeah.
Because imagine how much funnier. Farts are already funny.
Mm.
But if you were farting laughing gas.
At a high pitch? Is that? Oh, no, that one doesn't do a high pitch. No.
At a high pitch? High pitch fart?
I mean, but if you were to fart helium, does it make your farts higher pitch?
I imagine. Probably.
How high pitch could they go?
How do we not know this?
This is absolutely some YouTube / science prank guys, you know, thing. And then it's just a bunch of guys.
Hello, you're watching the YouTube / science prank guy.
Yeah, and then they're psh, like helium up their butt like that. Psh, like that.
And then
they're farting. Yeah. That was really high pitched. That was like, that sounded otherworldly.
Yeah.
That's maybe what it would be like to fart on Jupiter.
Fart on Jupiter? I'm not sure. Not sure. It'd be so dense in Jupiter.
You think so?
I think the gas is very dense.
What about in the outer parts? You know, just as you're falling in.
You're right. You know? There'd be a point.
You know, you're suddenly fading into the very wide gas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Suddenly.
Yeah. Because I think that would be falling into Jupiter. That would be, it wouldn't be very sudden. Because you'd first.
Falling into Jupiter.
Yeah.
Text George.
Falling into Jupiter?
Mm.
How about this one? Wait, it's very similar. Drops of Jupiter.
Oh, yeah. Now she's back from her Sol vacation, tracing her way through the constellation. Yeah.
She's back from her Sol vacation.
I think that's right.
Tracing her way through the what?
Constellation.
Tracing her way.
I think so. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how I remember anything.
You seem to really know.
But I'm probably wrong as well, you know? I know, but I don't know because I'm probably wrong. Alistair, should we do three words?
I think so. I guess we're there.
Yeah, we're there.
I mean, global humidifying doesn't have a huge idea attached to it. I mean, it does have.
But I think it's attached to a broader thing of people trying to explain global warming in a way that more people will relate to.
I think it's worth remembering, and it's worth.
Here's a thing that is real sad, right? Okay. I was talking to my dad the other day, and he was like, I know. And he was like, he said something about it being a really nice day. And I said, yeah, but it's winter over here, right? And I was like, yeah, but I can't really enjoy nice days anymore because I just think about global warming.
Mm.
And he was like, oh, really? And I was like, yeah, I imagined everyone felt that way. That, like, now whenever it's, like, winter or it's supposed to be cold and it's a nice day, I'm depressed. It's somehow reversed. Like, the fact that my generation can't enjoy nice days anymore is already so tragic.
Yeah.
And but for my dad, like, I don't think he made that association in his head.
But is there a chance that maybe throughout his life he's had nice days in the winter and been like, oh, this is just normal.
Yeah.
That's why he, yeah.
No, totally. And that's exactly what it would have been.
Yeah.
And that's exactly probably what it still is a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But feels like there's way too many nice days this winter. And it's making me sad. We're going to stop calling them nice days. All right? We're going to be start calling them red flag days.
Well, Andy, I think what we're coming close to is the nice decopolix. Wait, let me say that. Try that again. Nice day polyps.
What about just nice day geddon?
Nice day geddon. Yeah.
Yeah.
So soon there's going to be so many nice days.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that could be all that's going to happen from climate change? It's just like, it's just going to be back-to-back nice days. It's going to be like LA all the time.
But I think that's a problem.
Is it?
I think that's going to be a problem because I think LA doesn't have any water. This is a problem with LA. There's no water. They're trying to pipe water from all over California to get water to LA because it never rains.
Yeah, right.
Right? And that'd be the rest of the world.
Yeah. But we won't be on a fault line.
Yeah, you're right.
So.
Yeah. No probs.
Look, I'm going to write down.
Nice.
I think there's an idea in there. I don't think we quite got nice.
Yeah. Sure.
Take it on.
Three words.
Today's three words come from our Patreon, $3 Patreon supporter, Mr. Fred Rhodes.
Fred.
Hi, Fred.
Thank you so much.
Great name.
Great to have you on board.
Great to have you in every single way that we can have you.
Great to have you in our lives.
In our lives, Fred.
Peripherally.
Cheers, Fred. Well, Andy, and then the three words, are you ready for them?
Yeah.
They are pay.
Mm-hmm.
Andy's.
Yes.
Mortgage.
I wonder if we recently got another review on iTunes of the show.
Yeah.
5 stars, just said, Andy has financial issues, was the entire review. I wonder if that was Fred.
That, and I want you to know that those reviews still mean so much. I mean, you can say a nice thing about the podcast, or you can not say anything at all, or you can say...
Yeah, the deepest truth.
The deepest truth of all, that Andy's financial problems have not yet been solved. Hey, look, we're going to be employed by next week.
I know.
So imagine that.
We're back on track.
It's been 2 months, 2.5 months.
Yeah, it's going to be in quite a while.
Yeah.
had a few little sources of income along the way.
Oh,
you know,
Comedy festival went okay at the end there.
Yeah, it did.
Really
it did.
Picked up.
Yeah. I mean, don't work it out on an hourly basis, but.
No.
But in terms of like if on a per second basis for the second in which the money was coming into my bank account,
yeah.
It was a very good payday for me.
When the money suddenly came into your
yes.
bank account.
Well, that one was.
But also that IP exists forever. I mean, one day we're potentially going to film it.
Mm.
And there you go, Andy. That's another place. It could go international.
Yeah. Remember we were going to do the Fringe Festival. We might not be going to do the Fringe Festival anymore.
Yeah.
We might be just going to be doing a run at the studio.
Yeah.
But we still have that registration money that we put aside for the festival.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
What are we going to do with that?
Well, Alistair.
We could use that to pay for filming it.
Yeah. Could do. We're on the way. It's a start. Anyway, there you go. Sorry, just some thoughts that you didn't need to hear.
Oh, my God. So sorry. Okay, pay Andy's mortgage. We really went into a private conversation there. Pay Andy's mortgage.
Yeah. All right. I mean, what if... Okay. Can I run on this as a political campaign?
Sure.
Right? This will be my thing. I'm running for government.
Mm.
And my platform is that I will use taxpayer money to pay my mortgage.
Wait, and well, also, like, once I get this job, I'll be able to pay my mortgage.
Yes.
But, and then once mine is paid off, I'll be able to help all of you pay your mortgages.
I think, I mean, that's not a, it's not a terrible idea, right?
I'll work with charities and angel investors and, philanthropists,
public-private partnerships to pay all our mortgages.
Is it philanthropists?
No, it's philanthropists.
Ropists?
Yeah, I think so. Philanthropy. It's not philanthropy.
Oh, great.
Philanthropy. Throppy.
Throppy. I'll call George.
Throppy just it sounds like a description of a penis, doesn't it? It was very throppy.
I mean, I guess you're just thinking of it floppy.
Well, yeah, but also the fabric that's around it and that sort of thing, I think gets you the thr.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the zipper, all of that.
That's probably
sort of
stuff. What a penis sounds like when you're running.
Yes.
Throp, 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 throp.
Throppy.
Throppy. They had a mic down there.
Yeah. Yeah,
which we will for the next episode.
Okay,
that's what the Patreon bonus episodes are.
Oh, we're going to mic up our genitals.
And then go running and see if they're throppy.
I'm putting money on yes. So this, if I'm running for government, I had a little side idea there, which is that like, imagine you're a politician, right? And I'm wondering if there's any way that you could sort of get elected twice, right? So, you know, these days a lot of people have to have a second job, right, in order to meet all their bills. What if a politician also has to be another politician, like has to have two seats basically in order to...
Yeah, or he's like, look, he's complaining about the wage is not coming up for politicians. He says, I'm a federal politician and I've recently had to also join either the state or my local council.
Yeah, like I'm a mayor as well in the evenings. I mean, we're laughing, but is that actually funny enough to be anything? Right.
I've had to become the politician of another country as well.
Yeah. Or
a smaller country. I'm also a politician of Fiji.
It's a conflict of interest, but sure. Or maybe just a member of the opposition as well. Right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I've got to be...
I think that's fun because then
it's not enough to be just a member of one party anymore.
Because I think it's like then you can have that moment where he's asking a question or whatever.
And then he has to walk over to the other lectern. And
we're like, Mr. Speaker, can I address the question of the member for Higgins? And he runs over.
That is a very accurate representation of the state of our parliament. There's some people say, Mr. Speaker, and then someone else going, that is all it has been for the last probably 20 years. And maybe before that as well.
Yeah. Okay, politician.
Yeah, has to take on extra roles.
On other seat.
Mm.
To pay mortgage.
Yeah. I mean, it's a bloody joke, isn't it? Because they're always giving themselves pay rises anyway.
Well,
how amazing
he's complaining
is that
about
when they took away penalty rates and gave themselves a pay rise at the same time.
Oh, but that's independent. That's independent.
Yeah, you're right. That penalty rates, the Fair Work Tribunal.
They always use for when their wages go up. They go, oh, well, it's an independent body.
Yeah,
that does
you're right.
That.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
But you still voted for it, didn't you? You still approved it.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't happen against your will.
No. Also, last thing I wanted to say before I go through the sketches is that I've been thinking about the harshness of the Scottish accent recently.
Oh, yeah. Because big theme of this podcast.
Yeah. And I've been...
Sorry about this, Rory.
I've been listening to a history of the English language podcast. And that vowel shift I keep suspecting didn't occur in Scotland. I still don't have any proof that it didn't. But this is when we went from Old English to Middle English, right?
This is the thing. It's so hard to know what people sounded like in the past.
Oh, it's very hard, but there's ways.
Is it?
Well, there's sort of ways because you go back to root languages, but
you don't know what they sounded like.
Well, you can based on how the other languages evolved from them and things like that, and you can see where there's been shifts. You can't know exactly what it sounded like, but you can get an idea.
There was an episode of the X-Files where a reed was brushing against a pot. That somebody was doing some pottery, right? And it acted like the stylus of a recording device, and it engraved the sound of Jesus talking into the edge of a pot. And then when they played that pot back, God knows how they knew which pot to play back. Anyway, they played the pot back, and it brought the dead back to life or something.
Oh, my God. But then they go... Is that the pot that was there when Jesus was speaking? I better keep this. I was making this pot while Jesus was speaking.
I better play the pot.
Just in case.
I better keep this in case in the future there's some way to play pots. Play a pot back.
I don't know what these words mean at the moment.
What does play even mean?
Mm.
Play back?
So that big vowel shift where I keep saying that Scotland didn't go through it.
Mm.
Apparently, I reckon if we look back to me talking about vowel shifts in the past, you will have made that joke.
I think it's very, very, very likely.
So we went from Old English to Middle English. There was a huge vowel shift because that was the Latin. It was
vowel movement.
It was from the last time that Britain was invaded around the 1300s. Mm. The Normandy invasion, and for like 300 years...
All the vowels had to retreat to Scotland.
No. all the harsh vowels.
Yeah.
No, there was the leadership of England was all French people for however 300
that's
years.
Wild.
And so then it shifted during that time. It shifted all the sound of the vowels, and I reckon Scotland didn't shift. Maybe the Normans weren't in there. Didn't go to Scotland.
Is this entirely your own theory?
This is my theory.
Have you seen it replicated anywhere else?
I haven't seen anybody talk about it yet, but I'm waiting to hear it. I'm trying to come up with this theory on my own, and then I'm waiting to see whether.
Well, this is exactly. You've got to publish this theory, right? Publish or perish. This is what happened to Charles Darwin, right?
Did he perish?
He perished.
Oh my God, Darwin is dead. God damn you, 2016. By the way, it's the year 2019 if you're listening to this in the future.
Yeah, we haven't uploaded a really late episode or something like that. Anyway, we should stop.
Okay, I got to do the run through the sketch ideas.
Okay.
Okay. This is the first one is sort of a mixture of pick your battles. And you pick your battles, but not necessarily a battle that you think you'll definitely win, but one that's kind of convenient, like it's a good commute away. And that's why this person has picked the battle of the 9-to-5 mm-hmm. war. Mm-hmm. And so it's a war you can work 5 days a week for 40 hours and then go back home, spend time with your family.
Sometimes it gets to the end of the day and you're in the middle of like some sort of melee one-on-one bayonet fight with another thing, and you'll stick around to finish that.
Maybe.
Right?
Maybe. But then...
But you're clocking overtime.
Yeah. But then there'll also be times on Fridays where it'll just be... There'll be Friday drinks and you won't really do work for the last 3 hours or so. And you really should be killing the people on the other side, but what you're doing is really you're fraternizing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is important as well because that builds bonds and that makes you stronger as an army.
And it means that you're more excited about coming to work on Monday.
Yeah. Well, the greatest weapon of all is friendship.
That's right. Then we've got Rumpelstiltskin. You know, he's not a guy living on the edge.
I think a corporate style personnel review, like individual performance review, but for someone in a 9-to-5 war would also be quite funny to see.
I think that would be really funny.
Call someone into your office and talk about how they don't really seem very motivated or
I think that's good.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Showing up late,
leaving early.
Mm. Because we're all in this together.
Too long the toilet breaks.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you have a job and you just go sit on the toilet for like...
Oh, man.
You just go like... Sometimes it's like I'm not even going to the toilet. I put the top lid down. I'm just sitting there. I just got to close my eyes. Just run out the clock.
Are we both talking about engineering?
Yeah.
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 That's right.
Rumpelstiltskin gets an office job. Again, this is just another office job sketch. Mm. But it's instead of, you know, living on the edge and trying to get people to guess his name, and which once they say it, he's
so abstract, this idea.
He instead just comes up with a fake name because he was raised right, probably, this one. Anyway, then we got new frontiers and orifice drug hiding.
Mm.
And so just new places to hide drugs. In your
hidey holes.
Yeah. You know, up in the ear trough. Under the eyelids.
In your pores.
Mostly
pimples.
Nostrils, so you get a nasal...
Bacne.
Bacne. Oh, bacne. No one's going to go near that.
Nah. Oh, you see those videos of people squeezing boils. You can fit a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah. How about this? You know, like you said with that, you turn it into toys or whatever. You could just turn it into flaky sort of... like foot skin.
Yeah.
Like you've got psoriasis or something like that.
Yes, and then you get there and you get your pet egg and you shave it all off.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
You just put it in water like they do in that movie, and then it just turns to dust again.
Love it.
Love it so much.
Love it.
I think the
James Bond one that I was thinking of, they dissolved it all in petrol. Transporting it in petrol tankers.
Oh, that's a good idea. I mean, if you could do that.
Mm. Yeah, it'd be great.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have to put it in your body. You just put it in a big truck.
Yeah.
So much easier.
You could carry a lot more.
You get heaps.
And there was no chance of the truck getting high because of...
Trucks can't get high.
Trucks can't get high. But what if they did? This sounds like a Shusher episode. I do have to come up with an idea for this week's one.
Wow, yeah. I think there's something to that. You know, and then it wouldn't just be you have to be breathalyzed when you get pulled over by the cops.
That's right.
Your car also has to get tested.
They
got to
put that little breathalyzer in the tailpipe.
Yeah.
Can you go?
Yeah. You rev for us.
Then we've got the beak with lips, which is just like the.
It's a replacement for cutlery.
Well, I don't know if that's the case, but
I can't believe you're resisting.
I don't
this.
See that at all. But
that's insane to me. So, that you don't see that at all.
But do we also change our customs completely, where it's okay to just stick your face in a bowl?
Yes.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I guess that makes sense. I guess it would also diversify kissing, wouldn't it?
Mm. Kissing would involve a lot more of this kind of sound.
But I thought the lips would soften that.
No, but you remove the lips apart. You pull them back.
Yeah.
To fully reveal the beak.
Oh, the point. Oh, underneath the lip. Do you think there'd be that beak point?
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Or do you think the lip would just come to a point?
No, I think there's a pointy beak. I want a pointy beak.
But then wouldn't there be that scenario where
you bite your lip?
Where you just put your beak through your lip all the time.
No, well, that's like with teeth. You don't do that with teeth.
Yeah,
a lot of animals
that.
Have
people
got
fall
really...
through. People
well,
fall
but
down.
You don't do it all the time.
No, not all the time.
No.
But then it's not a super sharp beak that's pointing right into your lips.
I just think there's a lot of animals that have got real sharp teeth, right? And yeah. they're not putting them through their lips all the time.
Yeah, but I was picturing this point was like under the, you know, like just hanging over the point like a sheath or something like that.
Oh, well, that's a terrible idea.
Well, that's a bad design. That's
why would you picture that?
Well, I'm just explaining why it seems so dangerous.
Nah, you're bad at imagining.
No, I was really good. But you're picturing it kind of sticking out a bit like a narwhal's.
Yeah.
Like a narwhal's teeth.
Yeah, you've got a bit of, and I think if you stretched your lips, you could fully cover it.
Yeah.
Right? But where they default sit is just back a little bit.
Yeah.
Like a foreskin.
There should be a restaurant where you can go where you can have a beak.
Yeah. Well, we did the restaurant last week where you could be a warthog.
Yeah. Well.
Root out the food with your tusks.
Yeah. I mean, just different restaurants where you can just go in and just be different pets.
It's definitely possible that they do those mouth guards, right? That are like molded to your teeth. Why not get one made that is basically then just sticks out like a beak?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be very big, but basically sits inside your mouth and you have the top and bottom halves of a beak.
Yeah.
And you can live with a beak.
Yeah. And then you could have that like that, and then for a day you just get put in a little cage, and your food's in a little seed area, like one of those seed sort of feeds.
Yeah, I get it.
And then you can swing on one of those little things that only like strippers really do, or circus people, and you drink from that little water thing like that. But you know, it could be champagne or whatever. You know.
Oh wow! So it's a real treat.
Yeah. Poop on the newspaper.
On the newspaper there.
Yeah.
Someone comes and takes that away.
Yeah.
That's the life.
That's a real life.
Yeah. You ever look at a bird in a cage and think, oh, yes, he's got it figured out?
Well, we don't know. We don't know if they're happy.
No.
There's no way of knowing.
No. Maybe that thing where they pull out all their own feathers and then start pecking at their skin could be a sign of joy.
You could do that.
You could do that.
In the cage. Got global humidifying. I mean, that explains itself.
Then it absolutely does.
Then there's gas drugs in lungs and butt. And and that's where you also have your oxygen in your phone that's attached to your wrist. That
It's a real good system.
That pumps oxygen straight into your blood. nice.
Honestly, if someone can figure that out so that we don't have to use our lungs anymore and all we can get our oxygen from our phone... I think that'll be a big hit.
Andy, there's absolutely a startup somewhere trying to do that right now. Mm. This
breathing.
This breathing is...
It's a burden.
It's troublesome because I know it's mostly automatic, but sometimes you do think about it.
I'm doing it now. You've made me think about it. Oh, now I've got to do this myself.
Now I got to forget about it.
Manual override.
Automation can take over.
Yeah, we've talked about this before.
Well, that's a bit of mine that I'm thinking about doing.
Yeah?
Politician who has to take on another seat to pay for his mortgage because of the price of houses has gone up so much.
Price of houses.
He's the one. He's the first one who acknowledges that there's a real problem, like the people, you know, especially the people who don't have houses. Anyway, what a sketch.
What a sketch. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast Two in the Think Tank with me, Andy, and him, Alistair Tremblay, Birchall, George William. We really do appreciate it.
We unbelievably appreciate it.
Oh, we forgot to do the rest of the Harry's ad.
Well, we can do it now.
We can do it now. The mid-roll. Mm-hmm. That means that we still have to go for another hour and 6 minutes to make this an effective mid-roll. What if I just edit it and put it in the middle of the podcast?
Sounds good. Let's
great. Cut here. Or we'll finish and then I'll put it in.
Well, we're already in this bit.
Yeah, I know. But let's finish the podcast.
Okay.
So that the sentence still flows and then we'll record it afterwards and then I'll put it in somewhere.
You're going to keep this in?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can find us on Twitter. I'm at Two in Tank, or I'm at AlistairTB.
I'm at Stupid Old Andy.
You can always listen to Shusher Guided Meditations if you don't get enough of this.
You can support us on Patreon if you like what we do. Or if you can't afford that, which is fine. I know always, I don't support us on Patreon.
That's right. And I've been very disappointed in Andy for that.
And so you can give us a review on iTunes, which would be really lovely and helps the podcast in some way.
You should know that we also love
you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. It's not optional. You have to do it. We used to go easy on it, but now you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.